everybody. Amen. I want to say something first of all. Well, I want to say a few things first of all before I get into saying what I'm going to say. But thank you all very, very much indeed. This is very much like a version of our home church. I just feel like home here, and I even had the opportunity to visit a few folks in their homes, and I really appreciate that. I don't know what way visits work over here, but I'm awful at timekeeping and organizing. And I turn up at people's houses. And before I was married, I used to turn up at people's houses around meal times. Because I was a bachelor. Now if I do that, I get into a lot of trouble. But I want to thank you all for your hospitality. And I want to thank you all for giving me an opportunity to help those that I could. So thank you very much indeed. I also want to say something about Pastor Asquith's message. I really enjoyed that this morning. And I was listening to that and I thought, you know what? Has Pastor Asquith been looking at my notes for part? And I know we like to think on the Lord, because the Word of God tells us to think on good things. But as the ladies were playing that, the words that came to my mind, it says, many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try. Those were the words that really stuck out in that, because Pastor Asquith was speaking on his Sunday school message a little bit about deception this morning, amongst other things, and the consequences of it. And then the song, the special that the lady sang, had that verse in it that said, the devil is going to whisper, and he's not going to whisper the once. And the message that I am going to bring to you this morning is from 1 Samuel. If you want to take your Bibles and turn there, it's from 1 Samuel chapter 19. I just want to read a few verses from verse number 12. And the title for the message is, Don't Let the Devil Make a Dummy Out of You. So there is a theme about just keeping your wits about you and minding that you don't listen to what the devil says. Amen. Thank you again. And God bless you all. We appreciate you and love you. If I ask you for your name again, it's because I want to remember you to pray for you whenever we're in Northern Ireland again. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house. And not just the opportunity, but, Lord, for the choice that we made, a choice that is informed by salvation. And, Lord, I pray your word, those good old songs, and the evidences of you working in our lives. Lord, bless each head that's bowed in your presence. And speak to each one of us, Lord. There's not one of us here that couldn't be used mightily of God in some form or fashion, where we are, where we would like to be, or Lord, just you know. Bless us now, open our ears, let us not, as Pastor Asquith's already brought us in the Sunday school lesson, let us not harden our hearts, but be ready, Lord. If there is a word that has been spoken by any of the men this morning, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, the ladies, Lord, if there is a word that is spoken that has rubbed somebody up the wrong way, and you can find it in your Bible, Lord, and it's because you are wanting to speak to someone about something that's going on. Lord, please take and use each one of us this morning. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, you're going to have to forgive me. I am not sure of the proper pronunciation of M-I-C-H-A-L, and it almost goes against the grain to call a lady Michael. But is there a proper pronunciation for that?
Michael work.
That'll do. That'll work for me. It goes a little bit against the grain. with all these men that want to identify as women and women that want to identify as men, then why do they have such a problem when we want to identify as 1890 independent, blood-bought, blood-washed, fundamental King James believing Baptist preachers? Why do people have a problem with that? You don't have to take a knife to us for that to be real. Anyway, verse number 12 of 1 Samuel 19. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee?" Amen. Don't let the devil make a dummy out of you. This is a really sad portion of God's word, because just a few verses earlier, Saul has already been persuaded that David is his friend and has wrought great salvation in Israel through the Philistines that he put to death, and of course we know through the big Philistine Goliath that he put to death years earlier. And here we have again Saul setting guards outside of David's house so that in the morning he would be taken and brought to Saul so that he could, well, as he's in verse number 9 and 10, he was literally going to throw a javelin through him. This man that brought this apple of God's eye that brought salvation to Israel. It just shows you what a little bit of jealousy, yes, untreated and untended to, can grow into.
Yes, sir.
So this is what Michal did. She knew what was going on. She was, after all, the king's daughter. And she said, "Look, David, if you don't make a run for it tonight, your life will be forfeit in the morning." There's a lot. Goodness, there are so many things here you could spend hours preaching on. And I know, I think we're stopping at 12, aren't we? There are so many things we could speak on this morning. But we're speaking of, don't let the devil make a dummy out of you. So anyway, she lets David down the window. And she makes an image in the bed. Now, I don't know if any of you, whether you're young or old, ever were playing hide and seek or trying to play a trick on your kid brothers or sisters or even your mummy and daddy, and hid a pillow in the bed and pulled the sheets over it whilst you were hiding under the bed or you were away doing something else. I know I did it at least once. There were four of us, and we used to enjoy a good game of hide and seek. So that was always one of them. The only problem was you always ended up a pillow short, but you know what? Little minds don't think on those things. But anyway, this is what Michal did. She put the pillows under the covers and waited until Saul's messengers came in. In the morning, the first bunch of messengers came in, and she said, "Just look. Look over there behind the curtain. He's in his bed sick." And they went back dutifully, because don't forget, remember, Saul had killed his thousands, but what? David had killed his 10,000s. So they went back and told Saul. They never investigated. They didn't want to interrupt this hero. And they said, "Saul, he's sick in his bed." And Saul said, "Look, the reason you're there is because I want to kill him. Go and get him. If you have to carry bed and all with him in it, bring it back to me." And all the while this was going on, David's feet were pounding away as far as he could go, as quick as he could go, from Saul and certain death. And you know the story. The soldiers went in the second time and they took a better look. And they went back and they reported to Saul with Michal probably in arm and said, And Saul said to her, "Why have you deceived me? Why have you lied? I'm your father, I'm the king. Why have you deceived me?" And Michal told a little bit of a lie because she knew him to be an enemy. "David said to me that if I didn't let him go, that he would kill me." So all the while the soldiers were waiting, thinking David was sick in his bed, David was running for the hills. He was making good time when everybody else was wasting theirs. And that's really the thrust of the thoughts that I would like to bring you this morning. Michal made a dummy of David so that she could make a dummy out of Saul, so that she could save his life. Now, I want to begin by saying one thing. The Lord doesn't deceive people into heaven.
Amen.
He tells it like it is. Read the parables even. They actually said that the Word of God tells us that the parables in the Word of God are there so that we can understand the way things are in heaven and earth. The Lord does not deceive people into heaven. He tells us the truth. And you know, sometimes a little bit like those Sour Patch sweets that you get, it just makes you pucker up a bit and you think, you know what? That's really sour. That's just not sitting too well in my mouth. I like the taste of them. Just in case anybody wants to prank me with a Sour Patch sweet, you go ahead. They don't sit very well in our lips. And sometimes the Word of God does not sit very well in our ears. But every single thing in the Word of God is needful for us to hear and understand as best we can and apply to our lives, because it will keep us right. The Lord will not deceive us into heaven, but I tell you what, friends, the devil will certainly try and trick you into hell. He will try every single trick in the book to make sure you never get saved, or if you do get saved, to make sure that you never amount to anything.
Yes, sir.
Because, yeah, he'll let you get saved, and he'll say, "Well, it's okay to get saved, but you just take it slow. Think it through very carefully. Consider," you know, the way he'll say to you, "What will your friends say? What will work say to you if you get saved?" They'll call you a Bible thumper, a Moses, or even a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, because they're renowned for talking to people about the Lord.
Amen.
The devil has a lot of pages in that book that he uses to fool people. And just in case you're sitting here today and you think, "Well, I'm saved and I'm serving the Lord, therefore I'm bulletproof." You read through Matthew chapter 24 and you read through where the Lord said that the devil would deceive even the very elect whenever he's in charge in the face of this world. You read where the Lord says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He needs for us to keep our wits about us. But as pastor was preaching this morning, I really didn't need my notes. All I had to do was remember your Sunday school lesson, pastor, and I appreciate it. We need to be on the ball. We need to keep our wits about us. I once heard, I many times heard men speak on Calvinism. That's a great scourge in our country. Basically means everything is the way God wants it to be. And that's a lie. God wants all men saved, but all men have to make that decision to be saved for themselves. And if anything bad happens, that's not God's will, and God's not dancing a jig when some nutcase goes bonkers with a gun and shoots people. God's not happy at that. That's going in direct contravention against what God wants for people. Just like the law enforcement agencies, they don't lock up the gun, they lock up the criminal. And just like God, it's us, the sinner, and the unrepentant sinner that goes to hell. And you, Christian, whenever you make a mistake, it's you that pays for your mistake. It's you that pays the price of separation from God. It's you that is taken to the woodshed. Don't let the devil make a mug out of you. There are so many things out there today that will try and convince a person. And the most important one is, of course, salvation. You must be born again. It doesn't make God greater. It makes you greater. It gives you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It gives you access to all the promises in the Word of God. But the old devil, he'll say, take your time.
Yeah.
Wait until you're older. Yeah. What the pastor was talking about, I had an uncle that was just the same. On his deathbed, my brother and I, newly saved Christians, went to talk to him. Richard, do you want to talk about the Lord? He said, no, 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 no. And he never made it out of hospital. But at least we tried. The old devil will say, do you know what? There are many gods and they all lead to heaven. Let me tell you something about the Roman Catholic God that says you have to be baptized, christened. You have to have first communion. I might lose a few of these, Pastor. You have to, there's something else you have to do. There's the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of first communion, there's the sacrament of marriage, there's the sacrament, there's the sacrament of celibacy and holy orders. There's the last rites. I've missed one somewhere. But, pardon? Confirmation, that's it. Thank you very much. And they say, oh, you have to do all of these, and then you have to go to confession, and then you have to put money on the plate, and then you have to carry this wee statue around the house, and then maybe, if you've done enough, you'll get to heaven. And, you know, that sounds like a lot of work to a lazy git like me. It is. That's a lot of work. And then they say, but we're all Christians. I say, but why does my God... why did he send his son 2,000 years ago to do all that work on the cross and say, repent and believe. Yes. Give me your sins, and in the place of your sins, I will give you the Holy Spirit. Why does he make it that straightforward? And they will say about some of those other faiths, the Hindus, the Muslims, you've seen the amount of things those folks have to do to even suffer a chance of getting to heaven? Some of you older folks out there, do you ever remember the seventh voyage of Sinbad whenever it came out about a lot of years ago? And they had that statue with the six arms, and the bad guy throws a sword into one, and all of a sudden it has six swords, and Sinbad's looking there at his one sword, and he has to fight this creature. That's called Kali. And she's the Hindu goddess of death. And she's worshipped by thuggies who worship Kali with the ritual strangulation of strangers. That is not a church you want to go visit. All roads do not lead to God. There is one God. And there's one mediator between God and men. And that is the man Christ Jesus. And it might look good. You know, you've seen Tom Cruise and some of these other high flyers, if you'll forgive the pun, that have joined the Scientologists they belong to. And they say, oh, it's wonderful, look at us, and we've got fame and fortune and mental problems and divorce. And people think this is wonderful. If I'm like them, I'll be like them. And on first look, it looks fine, but you know, on second look, when you pull that curtain back a wee bit and have a closer look, it's not working. It's not working. I was reading a little bit about Charles Darwin, who made some Christian comments towards the end of his life, but he left this life the way he came into this life, not with Jesus Christ. And did he go into eternity clutching the origin of the species? Is that any comfort to a soul? Yet how many Christians have, all they have wanted is the Word of God clutched close to their chest, because that makes a difference. These physicists, these scientists, I remember having a book that thick, and I thought because it was that thick, it was better than the Bible. And I remember some young men coming into my room, because they used to do that in the Union Theological College in Belfast. And they'd say, "Where's your Bible, Mark?" And I looked for the thickest book that I have, and it was Introductory Physics for the University. Now, there's my Bible there. Do you know what? I am glad God blinks at fools. I am glad he's the God of the second chance, because without this book, it doesn't matter what other book you have, what else you aspire to, what you give, what you do, or what you influence. Without Jesus Christ, it means nothing. Salvation is the most important thing in the world. And if you do not make sure of your own salvation, if you do not check out the thing that you have put your faith in, the devil will make a dummy out of you, and you won't find out until you're standing in front of that great white throne of judgment. And what foolish. I know of one man that I spoke to many years ago, and he was on the brink, and he said, "If I get saved, I would have to quit drinking whiskey." How much of a fool will that man be if he hasn't gotten saved? If he was an elderly gentleman 10 years ago, if he is standing in front of God right now and he's saying, "What a fool I was. The devil played me like a concert violin and I fell for it." This is Mother's Day. And before there were churches, there were families. And we're supposed to show our appreciation of our mothers. But the devil would say to you, "You know what? Your moms and dads, they're just the bank of mom and dad. They're just the facilitators of you children as you lead your lives." In other words, you know why they say foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child? Do you know why the Bible says that? It's because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It just is. And this might not sit well with you young people, but your moms and dads got to be that old and grey-haired because they knew a thing or two. And they know that you guys need a lot of help to get from zero to whatever age you might hope to get to. But the world, the flesh and the devil will say to young people today, "Oh, mom and dad, you're not allowed to chasten me anymore." Are you allowed to smack your kids in America?
Yeah.
Excellent, because you're allowed to do it in public in Northern Ireland. I remember one time, I don't have any kids, but I'm charged with kids sometimes. I actually carried a wooden spoon with me because I was looking after a nephew who was a little terror. And he, oh goodness, it's life's an education. And I remember him being in our equivalent of your, no, it was a Sainsbury's, a bit like your Walmart. And he wouldn't come whenever I told him. He was disobeying me. And I said, "You've got a choice, Henry. You get one smack here and now, or you get two whenever we go home." And he looked up and down the aisle and he said, "I'll take the one now." This is sounding good, Zane, isn't it? What about you, Caleb? Does that sound good? The devil will say your children are perfect just the way they are. But the Bible says we're born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards.
Thank you.
All of us, not just the, we're all born children. Children need correction and don't need to be dictating terms in the home. Regardless of what Freud says or Jung says, or regardless of what popular psychology says, parents are still to be in charge of the home. And that might seem fine and everything might be hunky-dory. You know, what's the popular turn of phrase that moms and dads have? Anything for a quiet life. Isn't that it? Isn't that what moms and dads say? Anything for a quiet life. That quiet life is not quite as long as you would hope it would be, because it only lasts until they say, "Right, Mom, give me the keys to the car. I'm away out. But I need those keys. But You've been having a quiet life up until this point, and whenever they find their own feet, whenever they spread their little wings, that's when your trouble is really going to start. That's when you're going to get the calls from the police station to say your son or your daughter has been caught smoking dope. Your son or your daughter has just killed someone in the car. Or your son or daughter is on a slab down at the morgue. Would you come and identify their bodies? Anything for a quiet life is a lie.
Right.
And it will kill your children.
Yes.
I remember many years ago we had a little girl who was as sharp as any razor blade, gentleman, you would ever put to your face of a Sunday morning. At just over 1 year old, she knew exactly how to behave to get out into Sunday school with all the rest of the children. At shortly over that age, she knew all the books of the Bible and was able to stand in for the... We would do the books of the Bible around in a circle in the Sunday school. And she was able to quote the book that one of the other teenagers couldn't quote. They're smart. They're incredible. But she had her own mind, and we all do. And it used to be she would run around the church. And she would make such a fuss because everyone was saying, I'm not going to pinch your cheeks. Oh, she's so cute.
Yes.
So I started lifting her. Have you ever tried, you men, anybody fish? What happens when you pick a fish? It wriggles like that there, doesn't it? Trying to get off the hook. She wriggled like a wee fish and I held on to her tight. And then when she stopped wriggling, I would walk a few more paces and say, there you go. And whenever I went to the house, I would pick her up and hold her, and she would wriggle like that wee fish in the hook. And after a minute or two, she would stop, and I would walk around with her a bit more, and then I would say, there you go. And then, when it came to church, I would set her on my knee whenever the songs were being sung. And she would wriggle for a wee bit, but I wasn't letting her go. And I didn't let her go, and I didn't let her go until it was time to preach. And then I put her on my wife's knee, and she wriggled a bit then. But she wasn't let go, and she was good. Children need to be taught. Now, I'm not an expert. I don't have kids. I just get to do things to kids and hand them back to their mommies and daddies. And most of it involves soda and chocolate. The devil will lie to you about how to raise your kids, and kids, the devil will lie to you about how to treat your mommy and daddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Your mommy and daddy are like your fortress against the world, and you should respect them and do for them what they ask you to do.
Yes, thank you.
Goodness, it's 2:15 and I have 15 other points to get through. I'm only joking. The devil's going to lie to you about church. You've heard this. You heard this like 3/4 of an hour ago. And he's going to say it's okay to be out of church. But let me tell you something, friends. It's not. He will say to you, oh, the pastor will not miss me for one service. But the pastor does. The pastor knows everybody that's in here. And he will miss you for one service. Yes, people are sick. And he understands that. But sometimes people's just listening to the devil. Mm-hmm. Saying, you just have a wee sleep in. You've worked hard all week. You've been busy for the Lord. You've blessed your food. You just take a day off from being a Christian. That is a lie.
Yes.
And that sort of thinking will kill you. It'll kill you, it'll kill your testimony, it'll kill your finances, your family, your friends, that'll take everything away from you. You can't, it's not that we can't rest from being a Christian, we can't stop being a Christian.
Amen.
We need to behave like a Christian, because the times that you stop are the times that other people get their notebooks out and say, I saw the pastor in a pub. I was just sharing with Jay and Megan and Nancy back there. I have a double in Derry that people keep saying they see in a pub. And they said, were you out in a pub? I said, no. I asked them, I said, was the pub on fire? Had lightning hit it? And they said, no. Well, then I wasn't in it. The devil will lie to you and say it's okay to lay out of church. It's not. Because I don't know about you, but I need the fellowship. I enjoy the encouragement, the singing. I'm not going to call you guys up to sing again, but I can hear your voices at the back of the church. They are powerful, and keep using them. The singing, the other people that you get to pray with. Do you see, it's not a chore to spend a half an hour in the presence of God whenever you're in prayer. The Lord, the devil will say, oh, all you need is now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And maybe a wee bit of the Lord's Prayer, and that's enough. You are helping so many people whenever you go to the Lord in prayer. You're helping that person by mentioning their name in the halls of heaven. And you're helping yourself by just spending time in God's presence. Christian, you have an invitation from God to be in his presence at any time of the day or night. And that was written in the blood of Jesus Christ. We can enter boldly into the holiest through Jesus Christ. The devil will tell you no. But you take a little bit of a closer look at the folks that don't pray. And you take a little bit of a closer look at the folks that don't read their Bibles. And you will find Christians that don't know the words to give to people. And what did Peter say to Jesus when Jesus said to the disciples, whenever everybody else was walking away, whenever he started cutting a little bit close to the knuckle, everybody thought, we enjoyed the miracles and we enjoyed the bread and the fish and we enjoyed the singing God's praises, but when it comes to sticking the Bible in our lives, to nailing those wee bits of our lives down that are flapping in the wind, that's a different story. And I figure the disciples saw all the people walking away and the look in Jesus' face, and they were walking towards him. And Jesus said to them, are you going to leave me too? And what did Peter say? He said, Lord, where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And if you do not... Look, do you know what? Has everybody got their big baseball bat Bible with them this morning? Amen. The one that you could literally hit a baseball out of the park with. Yeah, it's great to have a Bible that you can see without having to use an electron microscope, isn't it? It's great. Anyone ever put the wee Bible in their pocket? And it's great to have a wee Bible in your pocket, just there. But it's more important to have it in there. Because Jesus said, in the Psalms, the Word of God said, if you hide your word in your heart, you'll find it a bit harder to sin against me. I'm giving you that in Northern Irish. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the devil will say, oh, keep your King James Bible. Just keep it. But just keep it in your breast pocket.
Yes.
Or keep it on your bedside locker.
That's exactly right.
As long as you have it there, you'll be fine. Does anyone ever remember the old Vincent Price movies when the vampires used to come in? They'd hold the Bible up and that would keep evil away. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It only keeps the old devil away when it's hid in your heart. And you know there's a great emphasis on works. And there's a great emphasis on being seen out. And there's a great emphasis on coming to church in your jacket and your shoes and your freshly pressed shirt, thank you, Mrs. Bradfield, and trousers. There's a great emphasis on that, but there is such a lack of emphasis on being familiar with this one thing that the Christian needs to fight against all the things that the world is going to say to us and do to us and try and make a mug out of us with. In Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes. And I don't know about you, but I want the power of God in my heart, not in my pocket, not on my bedside locker, but in my heart. Does anyone know a magic recipe for remembering huge swathes of the Bible? Does anyone know? There was a guy, I think his name was Edward Casey, he was an occultist years ago. Do you know what he used to be able to do? He used to be able to sleep in a book, and he woke up with the full contents of that book in his head. He did it with dictionaries. He did it with encyclopedias. He did it with all sorts of medical books and science books. But you know the one thing he could never do it with or never did it with? Because it wasn't of God what he was doing. He was an occultist. He was a liar and a thief. The only way to get the word of God into your heart is to hammer it in. Amen. At least for me. And that means repeating it over and over again. And then the next time I go to speak to someone, or the next time as the word of God says you're delivered up, the word of God is on the tip of your tongue, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives it to you. Whether it's to one person, or 50 people, or 500 people. And we need the word, the power of God. Pastor, things changed about 2,000 years ago. It did. Up until then, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and then it would depart from them again. But 2,000 years ago, the Lord said, I'm going to send you another comforter. In fact, he said, I'm going to keep you in the palm of my hand and no man shall pluck you out. He said, the Father, which is greater than me, he'll keep you in the palm of his hand. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. And if you were to look inside, you would see that that soul is also sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need in these days.
Amen.
And when we don't load up with the fuel that is the very word of God, what did Jesus say? My word is meat. And it's meat and drink to you. It's flesh and blood to you. And we need it. Pastor Asquith made a very good, many very good comments, but he said, there's going to be things that trip each one of us up. And I know sometimes those roads are so well worn into our hearts, we don't even think about walking down them anymore. Like that gentleman that just refused the gospel until it was ingrained so deeply. He couldn't but make any other statement or say or any other decision. But we need to ingrain the word of God in our hearts. We need to stick upon it. I know that we all have favorite movies. And we'll remember lines from movies. And those will spring to mind. I don't know about you, but I remember things from 30 and 40 years ago before I was even saved. And they still come back to my mind. We need not to be thinking on those things, but to be thinking on good things.
Yeah.
I know we're hitting right the limit. And I don't want to cut into anybody's candy eating time. Or food eating time. But there are so many things out there, and I could talk for another half an hour. I'm not going to do that, but I want to make mention of a few more things. The Lord will lie to people about marriage. And he says, oh, you don't need to get married. The devil will lie to you about marriage. Sorry. He's the Lord to somebody.
Right.
Not to this trooper. The devil will lie that you don't need to get married, that you ought to just try living with someone and see how it works. It doesn't work that way. Our hearts are not designed to be joined to another person and then torn from. No matter how casual the world may make relationships seem, they're not. We are not Velcro. We're scotch tape. Once we stick, we're stuck. And anything other than that, it hurts. And it hurts deeply. And really what you need to do is look closely and see what those lies lead to. Confusion. Broken hearts. Disease. Shortened lives. We can do without all that. The devil will also lie, and it was just... There was when you had the discussion that was it Wednesday week ago about that group that is looking out for little girls who are young women that find themselves pregnant. And it just struck me that the devil is quite happy to lie about that too. It struck me like a bolt from the blue when the world says, oh, that's only a little bit of tissue. The devil is tricking those young women and maybe even the men that got them that way into being murderers. And they don't even know it, but that marks the heart.
Yes, sir.
And we need to think about the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil are bringing to us.
Yeah.
They always seem to make it look like it'll make you feel good, or it'll put a few extra shekels in your pocket.
That's right.
That's the devil always comes tempting, and he always comes appealing to our feelings or our greed. We need to really ask ourselves, is this what God wants us to do? Now, there's things like these alternative lifestyles. There's things, dress standards. Goodness, I remember reading many years ago, and I thought as a young Christian in my prime that these things are not going to affect me. And I don't say these things to affect anybody, but you women, you have a power over men, and likewise you men have a power over women. And when men see the unclad female form, their thoughts turn to wickedness. And likewise you women, when you see an unclad male form, your thoughts are not about that man's testimony. Your thoughts are not about his standing with God. Your thoughts are carnal.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's only for a moment.
Yep.
We should treat each other right. And we should be drawing attention to God.
Amen.
Not our good looks or our finely honed biceps or our six pack or whatever it is.
Yes,
but to Jesus. And be careful how you present yourself to the world and other young people. Do you know what the penalty was for committing adultery back in the day? Death for both parties by stoning. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4. He said, if you even look on a man or a woman to lust after them in their heart, you have committed adultery already. That is why we need to be careful of our standards. I read a very interesting one. Any of you young people got an iPad or a nice phone? Yeah? I don't know about you, but the first thing I do is put a cover on mine. Because I know I'm going to drop it. And I put a screen protector on it. Because that cost me money. And I want it to last for a long time. Because it's an asset. Why is it we treat ourselves and even our children like disposable instead of assets and covering them and protecting them so that they last a long time?
Yeah, brother, that's good. It's good preaching.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm hitting that time. You've got the LGBT movement. You've got feminism. You've got so many things. Entertainment, video games, wild music, gangs. So many things that claim to provide, just for a little bit, the things that the Lord will give for free to those that trust in Him. A home, peace, power, and a purpose, and a friend, and a father, and the best book you can ever lay your eyes on. So much stuff. The devil will try and take you away from all that and make a mug out of you. If you do indeed find yourself in that position, the first thing you need to do is get on your hands and knees. And whether you're, if you're lost, ask God to forgive you. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins, and you gotta mean it from the bottom of your heart.
Amen.
Because it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You gotta mean it. As we say to the little people, He looks in the heart. Same way as he listens with his ears. The next thing you need to do is get on your feet and get out to the house of the Lord. Stay on your feet and sing His praises. Sit when the preacher's preaching. Open your ears whenever he's talking. Lift up your voice and sing His praises and persevere. Just keep going. Keep reading. Keep studying. Keep on keeping on.
Yes.
And don't let the devil make a dummy out of you.
Yes, sir.
There are enough people. Pastor mentioned many churches that are sending people out. They're sending people out to a war, to a gunfight with a knife. They are totally unprepared. The Lord wants his children to know what's what, to know what's at their fingertips, to know what to do, to know what not to do. The Lord wants his children safe, just like you moms and dads, I'm sure, want your kids safe too. So trust in him and do what he says, even if it makes you grind your teeth. Do you remember what it was like when you were little? Your mommy and daddy tells you to do something and you're going, ah, I hate that. But you did it anyway, and then a year or two down the line, thought, that's why they told me to do things. Sometimes it's like that, ladies and gentlemen. Just do what Jesus says.
Amen.
Works out for the best in the long run. God bless you. And thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark.
Page 349.